Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. We've been looking at lessons that we can learn in the life of a godly king of Judah. His name was Jehoshaphat, and in 2 Chronicles 17, 18, 19, and 20, there is a description of who he was, what he did, and God's evaluation or estimation of him. And there was absolutely no question, as I shared earlier a few broadcasts ago as I read portions of chapter 17, that he was a good king. He walked according to the ways of his father David. He took a stand against all forms of idolatry. He took down the groves, the high places. He sent priests and Levites throughout the land to teach people the way of the Lord. And as a result of his godliness, the fear of the Lord came on all the nations round about him. He was respected even by his enemies. Instead of making war against him, they lived in peace with him and sent him gifts. The Philistines did that. I mean, they were always, you know, as you read most of the Old Testament history, they were always at war with the Philistines. Well, that's when a man's ways please the Lord. He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, what can we learn from the rebuke that occurred to the good king Jehoshaphat by the prophet Jehu in chapter 18, verse 2? He says, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly or wicked, and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord." The Lord was angry at what Jehoshaphat had done. And so, beloved, he had made an alliance with the wicked King Ahab of Israel. And so we have to develop, as we mature in the Lord, a godly wisdom and a godly discernment, being led by the Spirit of God, so we don't do things all in the name of being sincere or thinking we're doing a good thing, being sentimental. The world loves sentimentality, but beloved, as Christians, as God's people, we are concerned for one and one thing, and that is the truth of God's Word. Not just the truth. The real truth of God's Word is not the literal letter of the law, or whether it's the Old Covenant law or the New Testament law, which is the perfect law of liberty, but also that we have the Spirit of the Lord within us. We have righteousness. We have His love. We have His peace. We have His joy that convinces a world that is destitute of all of those things that there's something different. In fact, that's what was, that drew me. I, for the first time, was around Christians, and I didn't know what it was, but I was being drawn. The Spirit of God was drawing me because His power is irresistible, and you sense something that, I mean, I walked in the ways of the world for 10 years and had really, in all that time, really had only two incidences of anyone who had even made any reference to Jesus. I said I would never be in a church again. And one of those, it's amazing, the smallest thing we do, it was in Ann Arbor near the University of Michigan. This was back in 72. And she sent a Christmas card or gave a Christmas card to me and just said, "The King is coming." And I didn't even know what that meant, really, but it impacted me. It affected my spirit. And so, beloved, God is wanting to reach out through His people today, through you and I, because we're living in the end times. But it behooves us, it is extremely critical that we are led by the Spirit of God and that we learn from the example of godly King Jehoshaphat and don't make alliances with those who are not serving the Lord. Whatever His, only God knows the full motives and intentions of His heart. Obviously, he loved God and he wanted to see the Lord's worship restored. He took down the high places, but why he would do make alliances with the ungodly, there was a rebuke from God. And beloved, regardless of how good we feel our motivation is, we have to be very clear on what God wants us to do. We have to act in love, but we don't compromise the standards of God's word. Neither do we expect to really fellowship with the ungodly. We love them. We pray for them. We witness to them. We minister to them, but we don't fellowship as friends. Because you can only have two. How can two walk together unless they be agreed, the word says. And if you do not agree on something so basic as spiritual realities and truths, there is no concord. There's no agreement. And it always ends up the good are swallowed up by the wicked because, we can't expect to be around and put ourselves in ungodly situations and expect that the word of the Lord is going to triumph. Why? Because we're going against the word of the Lord. So Jehoshaphat, even though he took a strong stand against all forms of idolatry, he was open to this very subtle deception of the enemy. And one of the lies of the devil is to try and make us think that our softness, our kindness toward the wicked is a religious act worthy of God's blessings. But beloved, if we're permissive in our relationships, we only hinder our growth and capacity for victory in our Christian walk. And basically, what was God telling Jehoshaphat? God's speaking to us. If we make an alliance with the wicked, his wrath is upon us. Now that's, you don't want to hear that, of course. Do you think Jehoshaphat wanted to hear that? But that was the word of the Lord. That's how God felt. He was upset and he was angry. So in the time ahead, we're going to be looking at several examples of wrong alliances. And these alliances, relationships hinder and destroy instead of bringing freedom and blessings. God says if you make an alliance or a covenant, basically, with those that hate the Lord, the wrath of God is upon you. God does not want us to treat people unkindly. Hear what I'm saying. He wants us to love, manifest his love to everyone, but he does want us to stand on the principles and truths of his word. His principle, which is love your enemies, do good to people as much as possible, but don't make an alliance with the wicked. What is that word alliance? I'm using it a lot. It means an allying or being allied. Specifically, it's a union or a joining as of families by marriage. A close association for a common objective. And beloved, if our relationships, business or personal or social, if they're not formed prayerfully and carefully, we can end up facing the death of our aspirations, our hopes, our ideals, our goals, and it could even jeopardize our Christian walk. The devil likes nothing better than for us to join with the wicked, all in the name of the gospel, expecting, that is for the Christian, expecting to win over the wicked by joining them or being tolerant of their rejection of Jesus Christ, the seeker-friendly church. Oh, well, you know, I mean, I've heard of a brother who's been in churches, large churches, people of deviant sexual orientation have been there for a year, and there is no address, and of course, praise God, we want all the sinners to come, but there's no addressing of that. There's no way we can stay in our sin. If someone is an adulterer, we can't say, well, thank goodness you're reaching out to God, you're seeking God. That's a good thing, but there comes a time that they have to be brought on the carpet for what they're doing. That's what Paul did in the Corinthian church. Beloved, we have to be strong in the Lord. We can say, I love you, but this is what God's word says, and I stand on God's word. It has to be that clear, with no equivocation. Many Christians find themselves in an alliance that destroys their witness. It negatively affects their peace of mind, as well as their spiritual well-being. For instance, as some are in an unhealthy alliance with their children. Now think, I might be stepping on toes, but beloved, if they're not serving the Lord, if they are not willing to follow the admonition of the Lord, of course, this would be, of course, those that are grown or mature, they're basically adult. I've known Christians, they do it in the name of love, but they have been robbed blind by children who are rebellious, who are stubborn, who are lazy and despisers of authority. Many of these Christians allow their children to dictate to them and cause enormous sufferings, and they do it all in the name of the Lord. They say, well, I'm doing this for the glory of God. No, beloved, they're making an alliance that is unhealthy, destructive, and emotionally debilitating to them as well as to the child or to the children. Beloved, in my personal life, I have known people like that. Years and years and years ago, I was in relationship and fellowship with a woman who's desperately, dearly loved God, and yet you couldn't tell her anything about her children, no matter what was said. Her children, you know, they could walk all over her. She would be absolutely emotionally decimated, torn down because of what they did to her. Now, of course, we have to love our children, but we don't allow them, because when they're rebellious, we have to release them into the hand of God and allow God to work with them. We can't be robbed or decimated emotionally, financially, or in any other way. It's called tough love, beloved. That's how God is with us. He loves us. We don't need to question how great God's love is for us, but He knows how to get to us. He can make a person miserable until they bow their knee before the throne of grace. So, beloved, I know what I'm preaching is strong, but if you love truth, you will recognize that that is how God deals with us. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. He knows how to do it. And so, beloved, we need to mirror that same kind of love and firmness. Well, as you can say, I can go on and on, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. And I do invite you, may have situations you're dealing with like right now, you just don't have the strength to say no. Beloved, God will give you the grace and strength. There's power in agreement. I invite you to write, don't let that daughter, don't let that son tear you up emotionally. That's not of God for you to be torn up. The announcer is going to give our contact information. I'm preaching these words to you as I am on this broadcast all the time because I love you. I love God, and I want to see God's best in your life. The announcer will give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.